إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستهديه ونشكره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحابته الطيبين الطاهرين وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ولا مثيل ولا ضد ولا ند له وأشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا وإمامنا وعظيمنا وقائدنا وقرة أعيننا محمدا عبده ورسوله وصفيه وحبيبه صلى الله وسلم عليه وعلى كل رسول أرسله أما بعد عباد الله فإني أوصيكم ونفسي بتقوى الله العلي العظيم القائل في محكم التنزيل يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله ولتنظر نفس ما قدمت لغد واتقوا الله إن الله خبير بما تعملون فهنيئا لمن اتقى ربه والتزم بشرع سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وهنيئا لمن حج واعتمر وزار قبر النبي المصطفى صلى الله عليه وسلم وهنيئا لمن تمسك بهديه ونهجه صلى الله عليه وسلم وقد علم النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام أمته كثيرا من الأمور التي تنفعهم في دينهم ودنياهم وحضهم على العمل بها. Dear brothers, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala said in the ayah that I recited, which means, O those who believed, fear Allah ta'ala and obey Him, and let one prepare for the morrow, for the akhirah, and fear Allah ta'ala because Allah ta'ala knows everything that you do. So it is good for the one who fears his Lord and obeys him constantly and adheres to the teachings of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and good for the one who performed the Hajj and the Umrah and visited the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's grave, and good for the one who adheres to his way and his teachings sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught his ummah many things that benefit them in their religion and in their dunya. خطبتنا إخوة الإيمان اليوم تكون بإذن الله تعالى ترتكز على أشياء يجلبها الحجاج عادة معهم من الحج كالسواك وماء زمزم وتمر المدينة والسبحة وغير ذلك من تلك الديار المقدسة العظيمة من مكة أم القرى ومن طيبة التي طابت برسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. So dear brothers, our khutbah today will be focused on talking about some of the things that the pilgrims, the hujjaj, bring with them from the Hajj, like the siwak, like the water of Zamzam, like the dates of Al-Madinah Al-Munawwara, like the subha that is used for dhikr, tasbih, and other things that they bring from that blessed land, from Mecca and from Taiba, which is the city of Al-Madinah, the one that is blessed by the presence of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. نبدأ بالحديث عن السواك. قال صلى الله عليه وسلم, we'll start by talking about the siwak, one of the sunan of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where he talked about the siwak, and he said, As-siwaku matharatun lil-fam mardatun lil-rab. وَقَالَ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ رَكْعَتَانِ بِسِوَاك أَفْضَلْ مِنْ سَبْعِينَ رَكْعَةً مِنْ غَيْرِ سِوَاك. والسواك شرعا معناه استعمال عود أو نحوه في الفم لتنظيف الأسنان, وأفضل ما يستعمل خشب الأراك. So the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام said, the siwak is purity for the mouth and rewarded by Allah, the Lord. And he said, two rak'ahs with siwak, with using the siwak prior to praying it, is better than 70 without siwak. Again, he said, two rak'ah with siwak is better than 70 without siwak. So that means the reward will be multiplied 70 times if you use the siwak. And Islamically, the siwak is anything that you use, like a piece of wood, like a stick, to use to clean your teeth. This is called siwak. But the best of this kind of wood is the wood called arak. This is the best type that could be used for siwak, for cleaning the teeth. And it is sunnah to use the siwak when you get up from, when you get up to pray. It is sunnah to use the siwak, as we said, multiplies the reward of your prayer to 70 times. And it is sunnah to use it while making wudu. So after you wash your hands, your palms, it is sunnah to use the siwak as well. And it's also sunnah to use it for tayammum, dry purification when you cannot find the water or unable to use the water Islamically. And it is sunnah to use it to read Al-Quran, Al-Kareem. It is sunnah to use the siwak to clean your teeth from the yellowness or the like. It is sunnah to use it for tawaf, going around the Kaaba. It is sunnah to use it when you get up from sleep, when you wake up. It is sunnah to use the siwak. And among the ways the Prophet ﷺ showed or taught to use the siwak is to use it with the right hand and to start from the right side. This is sunnah. And while you are brushing the teeth, it is also sunnah to pass it on your upper part of your mouth gently. This is also sunnah. But most importantly, to get the reward out of all of this, the right intention has to be made. You make this intention that you're doing this because the Prophet ﷺ recommended it and that it is his sunnah. وَمِنْ فَوَائِدِ السِّوَاكِ إِخْوَةَ الْإِيمَانِ أَنَّهُ يُطَهِّرُ الْفَمْ وَيُرْضِي الرَّبِّ وَيَشُدُّ اللَّثَ وَيُضَاعِفُ الْأَجْرِ وَيُبَيِّدِ الْأَسْنَانِ. Among the benefits of the siwak. Now we talked about the Islamic benefits of it, or the rewards that you get for using the siwak. And it has other benefits, such as it purifies your mouth, it cleans your mouth. And it is rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it will strengthen your gums and multiply your reward. And it also whitens your teeth, and one of the benefits of it is it improves, it helps improve exiting the letters correctly. As you know, when you are reading Quran, you are obligated to learn how to read Al-Quran. And to do that, you gotta know the exits of the letters, where the ba comes out from, where the ha, where the ha, where the dhal, where the zay, and so on. So, especially for Al-Fatiha, even if you don't speak Arabic, you cannot mix up the letters. You cannot say, for example, in Al-Fatiha, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. This is wrong. Your exits are messed. You have to learn how to pronounce it correctly. Or some people say, غير الذين أنعمت, or غير المغزوب. This is also incorrect. Or ولا الظالين, or ولا الظالين. All of this is incorrect. And that's because they did not learn it properly. It doesn't matter what language they speak. They gotta read Al-Quran as the Prophet والسلام, taught. So you say Alhamdu, you don't say Alhamdu. غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين, with the shaddat as well. So using the siwak helps bring out the letters correctly. And also one of the benefits of a siwak, dear brothers, it reminds you of saying the shahada when dying. When a person is dying, using the siwak in his life, it reminds that person to say the shahadatain before he dies. And whom from us don't wish to be reminded of that? So dear brothers, follow the sunnah and keep using a siwak in adherence to the sunnah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. حافظوا عليها إخوة الإيمان ففيها فوائد عظيمة. أما ماء زمزم فيستحب شربه من السنة يعني أن يشرب الإنسان ماء زمزم، ومن كانت له حاجة فليشرب على نية قضاء حاجته. ويقول إذا شاء، يقول: اللهم إنه قد بلغني أن نبيك قال صلى الله عليه وسلم: ماء زمزم لما شرب له، ثم تنوي ما تريد، فتقول: اللهم إني أشربه سائلا علما نافعا ورزقا واسعا وشفاء من كل داء، وتسأل ما تشاء. As for the water of Zamzam, we are recommended to drink it. It's sunnah to drink it. It's a blessed water. And if someone has a specific need, he will drink it with that intention to fulfill the need. As it is mentioned in the hadith, that means water Zamzam is for the intention it is used for. If you drink it with the intention of cure, then inshallah Allah will fulfill that need for you. So it is sunnah before you drink Zamzam to make a dua and pick or say what you need, and then you drink it with that intention, and inshallah Allah Ta'ala will fulfill. As for the tamar, as for the dates, some of the dates they have special status than others. Some dates are more special than others, like the dates of Al-Madina, the Ajwa, Ajwat Al-Madina. It is mentioned in the hadith that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, من تصبح كل يوم سبع تمرات من عجوة سبع تمرات عجوة لم يضره في ذلك اليوم سم ولا سحر. As for the tamar that the Hujjaj bring with them, as we said, some of it is special, like the tamar from Al-Madina. It's called the Ajwa of Medina. Ajwatul Medina, the Prophet mentioned it in the hadith. He said, the one who eats in the morning 7 dates from the Ajwa of Madinatul Munawwara, then that day he will not be harmed by neither poison nor sihr, because of the benefit of the tamar of Al-Madina, the dates of the Medina. ومن جملة ما يحمله الحاج عند عودته من حجه السبحة. Among the things, dear brothers, that the Hujjaj bring back with them is also the subha that is used for tasbih and dhikr. It is not bad to use it. It is accepted in the religion to use it. And it reminds you to say more dhikr. Don't listen to those who might say to you it's bid'ah or it's haram to use it. Because there are evidence that it is accepted in the religion. One of these evidences is once the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he saw one of his wives using the date pits for tasbih. She had brought 4,000 pits, the inside of the dates, 4,000 to count. Every time she makes dhikr, she starts counting. So the Prophet, he saw her, and he didn't say this is bid'ah, this is haram, or this is against the religion. No, it is accepted, and that's why the scholars, they deduce from such proofs that it is permissible to use the tasbih for dhikr, to say Subhanallah, la ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, and it helps you make more dhikr. So there is nothing wrong, and don't listen to those who say it's bid'ah or it's haram to use it, it's bad bid'ah or the like. These people are crooked and they are misguided, and they're trying to misguide others. In fact, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, by him not opposing to his wife, is like he's concurring the use of this kind of method to count for tasbih. But using the fingers to count is better. Using the fingers to count is better. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, عَلَيْكُنَّ بِالتَّسْبِيحِ وَالتَّهْلِيلِ وَالتَّقْدِيسِ وَعْقِدْنَا بِالْأَنَامِلِ فَإِنَّهُنَّ مَسْئُولَاتٌ مُسْتَنْطَقَاتٌ. يعني يوم القيامة الأنامل الله يستنطقها فتتكلم أن هذا الشخص كان يذكر الله وما شابه ذلك. So this hadith means the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, he said, make dhikr, make tasbih, make tahleel and taqdis, saying subhanallah, saying la ilaha illallah and other dhikr. And he said, and use the fingers to count like this. Use the fingers to count, because they will be questioned and they will talk on the day of judgment. So they will say, such and such was using my fingers to make dhikr and the like. And this is there are some incidents in this dunya where things like that happened. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he recommended us to make dhikr in any way, but the recommended, the best way is by counting on the fingers. One of the awliya, he was from the tabi'een. His name is Abu Muslim. Abu Muslim al-Khawlani. كان من التابعين وكان من أولياء الله الصالحين. هذا مرة كان يذكر كان يسبح بالسبحة ثم نام. فلما نام صارت السبحة تدور في يده وتخرج كلاما وتقول يا منبت النبات ويا دائم الثبات. فلما استيقظ هو من نومه هذا الولي نادى زوجته قال لها تعالي وانظري إلى أعجب الأعاجيب. فأتت ونظرت وراءت السبحة تذكر وتدور في يده وحدها. فلما رأت ذلك سكتت السبحة توقفت سكتت السبحة. هذا حصل في الدنيا فكيف بالآخرة؟ يعني هذا يكون شاهد لما يحصل يوم القيامة من نطق الأنامل لأصحابها. So one of the incidents that happened was one of the تابعون. He was Abu Muslim. His name is Abu Muslim al-Khawlani. This man was a great wali, great pious wali. One day he was making tasbih using the subha for dhikr and he fell asleep. When he fell asleep, the subha by itself, by the will of Allah, it started to turn and spin in his hand and it started to make a sound. Started to say dhikr. It started to say, O Allah, the creator of all the creations, the one who has no ending to his existence. In Arabic, Ya Mumbit al-Nabat, wa Ya Daim al-Thabat. يعني Daim al-Thabat, أي الذي وجوده لا نهاية له. Then when he woke up, he saw that and he called his wife. He said, Ummu Muslim, come see the most amazing things. And she came to see that the subha was turning by itself in his hand and making dhikr, saying these words that I mentioned, subhanallah. Then when she saw that, then the subha stopped making that dhikr. So this incident which happened in this dunya is an evidence also or a sign of what will happen on the day of judgment from the fingers making testimony or talking or speaking about the person on the day of judgment. ونذكركم إخوة الإيمان بالطلب من الحجاج القادمين بأن يستغفروا لكم. We also remind you, dear brothers, to ask the حجاج, the pilgrims that came back from Al-Hajj, as soon as you talk to them or see them, ask them to make istighfar for you, as it is sunnah, as the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said in the hadith, اللهم اغفر للحجاج ولمن استغفر له الحاج. Which means, the Prophet ﷺ said, O Allah, forgive for the pilgrims, the hujjaj, and forgive for those who the pilgrims ask istighfar for. So that's why when you see a person coming back from Hajj, the first thing you should tell him is, make istighfar for me. Ask Allah to forgive my sins. And I ask Allah Ta'ala to forgive our sins and yours. هذا وأستغفر الله العظيم لي ولكم فيا فوز المستغفرين استغفر الله. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستهديه ونشكره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد بن عبد الله وعلى كل رسول أرسله. أما بعد عباد الله فإني أوصيكم ونفسي بتقوى الله العلي العظيم القائل في محكم كتابه وقل رب زدني علما. فعلم الدين إخوة الإيمان هو حياة الإسلام فوجب الاهتمام به تعلما وتعليما. The knowledge of the religion, dear brothers, is to live the life of al-Islam. So that is why it is a must to acquire this knowledge and to teach it. to give it a lot of attention and to take it correctly and to learn it from its qualified teachers, not from randomly any person or from picking any books. It is not sufficient to just take books and start reading from them. How many people, they relied on reading books, but they ended up being misguided and misguided others? You might wonder, how come there are many people in that they say they are Muslims, but they have wrongdoings? They say that this is Islamic, but it's really not Islamic. How many? Many of those. The consequence of this is because they did not learn the religion the right way. Our Prophet did not teach all these different opinions, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the opinions that oppose each other in a very abhorrent way. Rather, he taught one knowledge, alayhi salatu wasalam. But people, if they don't acquire it, or they don't learn it from the qualified teachers, they end up with these misguidance and confusing beliefs, wal'iyadu billahi ta'ala. So they were misguided, and they misguided others. And to speak about this in particular, beware of the many books that are printed and given out with different colors and given for free, even in Saudi Arabia, even during the time of Hajj. I personally, when I was there, I saw they gave me dozens of these books. Colorful looking books, but the content inside opposes the creed of the Prophet and the creed of the Muslims, Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. You don't find that they gave you a book for Abu Hanifa. You don't find they gave you a book for Imam al-Shafi'i. They don't. They give you books for their leaders that have their extreme beliefs. Extreme beliefs like what? Like the people of Tajseem and the people of Tashbih. These people are misguided sects. Two of the misguided sects, or three. The one called Al-Mujassima, another called Mushabbiha, and another called Nufatu Tawassul. Those people, they say Allah is literally a body, jism, wal'iyadu billah, and this is kufr. Another, they say Allah is similar to us. They say he has, literally, he has hands, he has feet. They say he sits on al-arsh, wal'iyadu billah, he goes up and down, literally, physically, wal'iyadu billah. They liken Allah to the creations. The scholars call them mushabbiha. And the other is the type that says, tawassul is shirk. If you ask Allah by the Prophet, they say it is shirk. If you stand in front of the Prophet's grave and make dua, or if they hear you saying, Ya Muhammad or Ya Rasulullah, they will say to you, you are mushrik, you are a kafir, you are worshipping a grave. Wal'iyadu billahi ta'ala. And I'm not telling you from just what I heard. It's actually from what I also experienced with some of these people. And the books that they say in it, wal'iyadu billah. One of these books they say in it, one of these fatwas they say, reading Quran for the dead Muslims is misguidance. يقولون والعياذ بالله هذه من فتاوى ابن باز يقول إن قراءة القرآن على أموات المسلمين من الضلال والعياذ بالله تعالى. And I read this in their book. They said, reading Quran for your dead Muslims is among the ضلال, the misguidance. والعياذ بالله تعالى. If that's the case, who's left from the Muslims nowadays? All the Muslims, they are doing these good habits, reading Quran for the dead Muslims. They are doing tawassul, asking Allah for the things by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who is our wasila. But these people are misguided, and they want to misguide others. So be warned from them. It is not haram to mention them by name. It's not haram to talk about them. So people can be warned from them. And if you find their books, take it away, so people don't be misguided and misled with it. Even your children, be careful where they learn so that they are not misguided. Especially during the time of Al-Hajj and Umrah, many books are given out that are not according to Ahlul Sunnah's Aqidah. They are misleading others and misguiding them. Wal'iyadu billahi ta'ala. For those who need more information about this, inshallah, or more education for yourself or your children, we can arrange, inshallah, after the khutbah, we can talk about time to set up classes or the like. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us and our children and to forgive our sins and to keep us steadfast on the sunnah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma ahfad alayna deenina alladhi ja'altahu ismatu amrina ya rabbal alameen. Wa'alamu anna allaha amarakum bi amrin azeem. أمركم بالصلاة والسلام على نبيه الكريم فقال إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما باركت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. يقول الله تبارك وتعالى يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم إن زلزلة الساعة شيء عظيم يوم ترونها تذهل كل مرضعة عما أرضعت وتضع كل ذات حمل حملها وترى الناس سكارى وما هم بسكارى ولكن عذاب الله شديد. اللهم إنا دعوناك فاستجب لنا دعاءنا فاغفر اللهم لنا ذنوبنا وإسرافنا في أمرنا. اللهم اغفر للمؤمنين والمؤمنات الأحياء منهم والأموات. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. اللهم اجعلنا هداة مهتدين غير ضالين ولا مضلين. اللهم استر عوراتنا وآمن روعاتنا واكفنا ما أهمنا وقنا شر ما نتخوف. عباد الله، إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. وأقم الصلاة.